Hello, Audio Boom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're well, guys. It is Monday, the 6th of April, 2015. It's about 10:45 in the AM. I'm in my garage. I'm garage clearing. This is sort of day three, perhaps, of garage clearance. Not full days, I might add. Not full days of garage clearance. My garage isn't that bad. Although, actually, it probably is. It probably is. I'm currently going through my many boxes of junk. I have junk coming out of the yin-yang. Most of which is totally and utterly useless. But I'm a hoarder. I am a hoarder. I just don't like chucking stuff away. I always feel like, oh, you know, maybe it's got a use. Maybe in the future it'll come in handy for something. What that something is, I have no idea. But I can't help feeling like it might just come in handy. So therefore, I refuse to chuck things away. And consequently, I just have boxes and boxes and boxes of garbage scattered around my house. So what I'm trying to do is gradually work through all of these boxes and filter out all of the absolute definite junk. But also throw to one side things that may have a genuine use. And then what I plan to do, it's amazing what I'm finding actually. And then I plan to go through the filtered junk to hopefully filter out even more junk as I go. In like a two or possibly even three stage process. What on earth is that? If you'll have to excuse any rattling and crashing that you might hear in the background. Oh, there's the instructions with the gun lamp that I sold last year. You see, it's just full of stuff, just junk. Yeah, I'm never going to use that. Although the kids might. You see, I can't. The kids might use it. That's nudged. Or is that? That's a good one, actually. I know that for a fact. See, sales receipt here from 10th of the 2nd, 2012. Well, they're for my crampons, actually. Just in a random box in the garage. Just one lowly receipt, and I just happened to pick it up and read it. And it's a receipt for my crampons that cost me over 100 quid. Right, that's all rubbish. So, why am I doing this? Well, I mentioned the other day that I'm kind of feeling a bit cluttered in my life. And there's the actual invoice for my crampons from the climbers shop in Ambleside. That's rubbish. I'm feeling like my life's a bit cluttered, and my garage is an absolute. I mean, it's a big double garage, and I cannot get moved. It's literally just full of predominantly junk. I mean, obviously there's stuff in here that we need to keep, but mostly it's junk. Absolute, utter, unadulterated junk, and I need to get rid of it. Nintendo? What on earth could that be for? that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to clear out my garage, and then once the garage is cleared, I can then start clearing some of the cupboards in my house, which are just... some ERC car, I need that. Don't need that. That's off my jigsaw, I need that. And then I can hopefully start shifting some stuff out of the cupboards in the house into more suitable storage in the lounge, in the garage, and uh, hopefully just make things a little bit easier to manage. Because at the minute when I try and have a clear out in the house, I'm just moving stuff from cupboard to cupboard or room to room, and just, you know, it's just stuff that we don't need. We can't chuck away because we do need to keep it, but we don't necessarily need it to be available all of the time. So there's another box emptied. So I reckon I've cleared 6 large cardboard boxes now and condensed it all down into one. And this feels good. It feels very cathartic. Anyway, while I'm doing this, I shall fill you in on what's been happening in Black 73 cat land. Not very much. Not very much on the face of it. Went for a nice walk out yesterday around Rufford Abbey, which is just at the end of our village. Pretty much country park and that kind of thing. Went down there with the kids and some other people and their kids and stuff. And yeah, it was okay. It was all right. It was a pleasant afternoon out in the sunshine. In the sunshine with the kiddie winks. Yeah, you know. Snorkeling mask, awesome. but other than that, not really been much happening. I was listening to Raquel G the other day talking about quitting smoking and how you did it and that kind of thing. I quit smoking about. Oh, I love talking about this, mind. I quit smoking about 12 years ago now, something like that. And I tried all kinds of stuff. I tried patches, I tried pills, I tried chewing gum. The pills I had were those Zyban things, which some of you may remember. They were sort of touted as being the wonder drug that was going to stop the nation from smoking. And they kind of worked, but how many soul dryers does one man need? But they had massive side effects. They certainly stopped me from craving nicotine or craving a cigarette, I guess. But the side effects were awful. Nosebleeds, nausea, sleepless nights. It was horrible. It was awful. So they didn't last very long. But I tried everything. Nothing. There was no incentive for me to stop, really, because it wasn't costing me a lot of money, because I was getting, I was predominantly smoking roll-ups, tobacco roll-ups. So I was getting tobacco sent over from France, really cheap. It was costing me next to nothing. So I had no sort of financial reason to stop. And I suppose I'd always been a bit sort of carefree and blasé about it, you know, I'll stop one day sort of thing, you know. And whenever I tried to quit in the past, when I was in the RAF, it was always really difficult, because as soon as you said you were quitting, everybody would just try and wind you up and try to get you to not quit. So it was really tough. And then when I was working, after I'd left the RAF, predominantly doing sort of sales jobs and stuff like that, so I was quite often out on my own in my car or in my van or whatever I was doing. Again, I was sort of on my own, you know, so no reason to no reason to give up, because I wasn't affecting anybody but myself. But also, you know, long boring days, you know, so you kind of, smoking keeps you going, I guess. Well, certainly did for me. And then, about 12 or so years ago, there was a series of adverts, commercials on TV, or not commercials, really, public information films on TV from the NHS. As they do every sort of 6 months ago, they roll out in that latest anti-smoking campaign, and usually they just washed over me and that kind of thing. But I think there had been some sort of change in the regulations or something prior to this, where they were allowed to show more graphic content in the TV ads. And it worked. It really worked. There was a particular couple of ads where it was a guy who was 30 years old at the time. I was 30 years old, and or thereabouts, and he was basically dying, well, or struggling to live, is probably a better way of describing it. He'd had his lung removed, and he was sitting on the sofa, wheezing and gasping, and he had his daughter with him, who was about 7 or 8 years old, I think, at the time, and she was sitting there crying her eyes out because, you know, the daddy was really ill, and she thought she might lose her daddy and this kind of thing. And it really hit home, because at the time we were talking about the possibility of having kids and that kind of thing, you know, hadn't really sort of, you know, hadn't committed to it, but it was certainly sort of, you know, coming up on the radar. And it just smacked me around the face. It was like, this is going to be me, potentially, in a few years' time. And if my kids have got to go through that, that's awful. You know, I wouldn't want. You know, it wasn't like an immediate sort of decision, but certainly overnight, I woke up the following morning, and whatever tobacco or cigarettes I had left, I just threw them in the bin. And that stopped, and that was it. That was the last time I ever had a cigarette. And essentially all it was it went from that sort of, that thing of I need to stop smoking to becoming, you know, actually I wanted to stop smoking. That was the difference for me. It was that switch in my mental thing. And being a salesperson, the whole thing of needs and wants is something that's very... should be very obvious to me. You know, what somebody needs when they go to buy something is very different, often very different, sorry, from what they might want. You know, I mean, I wanted a 110-inch 4K TV when I went shopping for a telly last week. But actually all I needed was a 55-inch with a decent picture, you know? And once you separate those needs and wants, then things become decisions become a lot easier to make, you know? I guess I'll just sling that. I found a gun slip, but... no, I've been it. It's never going to get used. And it's, yeah, as soon as I made that decision, that mental sort of switch in my head to, I want to stop smoking now. I want to stop smoking for the benefit of myself. Not only myself, though, my kids. That was it. Everything changed. And suddenly, it was easy. And I went cold turkey. I just stopped overnight. No pills, no patches, no chewing gum, nothing. Nothing at all. Just willpower, sheer and utter willpower. And I know everybody says that. Oh yeah, it's just willpower, it's just willpower. And you know, people who are trying to stop him, but it's not just willpower, it's an addiction. Of course it's an addiction. And addictions are never easy to overcome. Which is why you've got, in my opinion anyway, you've got to want to do it. And not just need to, you've got, yeah, and not just feel like you need to, you know, not just feel like it's something that you really should do. Because it's frowned upon. You've actually got to, in your head, go, I want to do this, I want to quit. And as soon as, well, certainly in my experience, as soon as I made that decision, it was easy. Easy is the wrong word. It certainly wasn't easy at all. But the other thing I did as well was turn into a real obnoxious git. And I know Raquel mentioned this, that, you know, some ex-smokers or non-smokers can be really sort of heavy and hard on people who are trying to quit. But I did that deliberately. I deliberately made myself into that kind of person because it sort of forced me, if you like, to commit to actually never going back. Because, you know, after somebody's sat in a pub surrounded by a load of people calling them weak and feeble because, you know, they're still smoking, and I am better than you because I have quit, I have shown the strength and will to quit, obviously people look at you and go, you're a bit of an idiot, mate. But then when that idiot 12 years later still hasn't had another cigarette, people start looking at you in a different way, going, oh, you know, fair play to you, sunshine, you know. But the thing is, if I ever pick up a cigarette, then I will be a massive hypocrite. And that wouldn't be a good thing, would it? And then everybody will be laughing at me. And I will be the weak idiot who couldn't stop smoking, you know. But then again, some people say that you know, you're never a non-smoker. You're just a smoker who hasn't stopped. You're just a smoker who isn't smoking. I think that's what they say. I'm not sure I agree with that now. I can't see me ever having any desire at all to go back to it. It's just, I hate the smell of it. I hate seeing people with a cigarette. I hate the look of it. It's something that's so far off my radar now that I can't see me ever wanting to, or even considering going back. I can't. It's just not. Nah. It repulses me so much now that I don't think I could ever do it. And the thing is as well, it's the whole vaping thing as well. You know, I've got mixed opinions on that. I mean, obviously, anything that's stopping people from actually smoking is, you know, on the face of it, a good thing. But to me, the whole smoking thing is a two-tier addiction. You've got the nicotine addiction, and you've got the habitual addiction. You know, the whole process of when you have a cigarette, lighting a cigarette, you know, that whole sort of thing of what you do to imbibe this chemical, you know, or this drug or whatever you want to call it. And to me, by vaping, by using these false cigarettes, you're not leaving either of those things behind. You're still continuing both of those habits. You're still getting the nicotine. You're still getting the habit of, you know, sort of sucking on one of these things. I mean, oh God, you know, hey, if they work for you, then great. But God, to me, they look awful. You know, you see people walking down the street sucking on this thing and then sticking it back in the pocket. Oh, no. Not something that I would want to even try, I don't think. So I've kind of got mixed feelings about it. I don't necessarily think it's a way forward, but hey, you know, I think Raquel said it worked for her, so yeah, great, you know, if it works for you, then fine. And I guess it's the same process that I did. I mean, that wasn't around when I think there were very, very early versions of it, but certainly nothing like they are now, of these electronic cigarettes around when I was trying to quit. I never actually tried one, but I guess I tried everything else. I tried everything but, you know, in order to try and make this work. So I guess, you know, it's worth a try. If nothing else is happening, it's worth a try. But yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It really is. But all I can say is that once you've done it, it's the most amazing feeling in the world. I mean, 12 years on now, I feel so much better. So much better. You know, my hill walking and that kind of thing, I feel so much fitter than I ever used to when I was sucking on tobacco 20-odd times. I mean, I've smoked since I was probably about 10 or 11 years old, the first time I had a cigarette. And yeah, fair enough, it was probably just the odd one whenever I could, you know, whenever. I mean, I never, ever, ever stole cigarettes from my dad. My dad was a smoker, I still is. I know, he's given up now. But yeah, I never stole cigarettes from my dad. But obviously some of my friends used to, you know, now and again you'd go around a mate's house and he'd nick a cigarette out of his dad's packet or something, and you'd all hide in the garden and have a bit. I'm talking like 10, 11, but I guess I was properly smoking, I would guess you could say, probably 13, 14, down the youth club, two or three nights a week would be out the back of the youth club or down the park, and then maybe at school, you know, probably only having maybe one or two a day, if that. You know, whatever you can sort of get your hands on and get away with at the time. But certainly by the time I was 16, I was on at least 20 a day by the time I was 16. Sort of left home, joined the RAF, that kind of thing. Yeah, So realistically, I was a heavy smoker, and I mean a heavy smoker from sort of 16 till I was about 30, but on and off since I was 10, so nearly 20 years of this stuff. And to actually walk away from that is a pretty amazing feeling. It's even now I'm thinking about it now, and as I'm talking, and I'm just thinking, you know what, I'm so proud of myself for doing that, you know. And rightly so, I think. Rightly so. I don't think that's arrogance at all. I think that's, you know, it's a huge achievement. And hats off to anybody else who hasn't done it or who does do it in the future, because it's certainly not bloody easy. It's certainly not easy. Anyway, I've got a stack of cardboard here, and I'm going to have to fold it up and stick it in the back of the car and take it to the dump. Sorry, not the dump, the household waste recycling centre. I went the other day, and the guy was like shouting at me from this window. As I drove in, he's like, "What are you doing? What you got?" "Whoa, hang on, just some junk, mate. I'm cleaning up my garage." "What do you mean junk?" "Just general junk. We don't have any bins for general junk. We've got bins for wood. We've got bins for plastic. We've got bins for electrical items, but not for general junk. What have you got?" And I was like, "What the hell are you on, pal?" So yeah. I had to sort of smile politely, you know, and listen to his instructions, because apparently I can't read signs to tell me where to put all my junk. So yeah, I'm going to have to go back again today and face his wrath. Stand up to the Spanish Inquisition as he inquires about the contents of my boot. I've got so much cardboard, you know, so much cardboard. I you know, if I buy something, I won't throw the box away. I go, "Ooh, I'll just keep the box in case it breaks and I need to send it back to the shop or to the manufacturer or whatever, you know." And then the box gets chucked in the garage, and then invariably, 6 or 8 months later, the thing hasn't broken down. The necessity for keeping the box has passed, but it's still taking up a massive amount of space in the garage. I mean, I've got a pile of boxes in front of me that are standing from the floor 4 foot high and about 7 or 8 feet across. We've got a massive trampoline in the garden for the kids, and I've still got all the boxes for that. I've got all the boxes for some garden furniture that I bought. I've got boxes for old TVs, and then of course I've got the 6 or 7 boxes which I've just stripped down into their component parts that were full of all my junk. So certainly once I've taken this up to the tip, excuse me, things are going to be a hell of a lot clearer. Yeah, a hell of a lot. Oh dear me. Anyway, I better crack on. Lots to do, and I'm going to cook. I'm going to work for a couple of hours, do this, and then I'm going to cook a roast chicken dinner tonight. Lovely roast chicken. So it's a while since I've had a roast chicken, and I'm really looking forward to that. So. Anyway, I hope you're having a good weekend, and I hope the weather's as nice where you are, although I am stuck in my garage. I've got the door shut, so it's nice and cool in here. Plus it stops the neighbours peeping in. there you go. Anyway, I'll catch you all later, guys. Hope you aren't happy. Take care now. Bye-bye.